This is URN.
The Drama Show Breakdown.
It's 3 minutes past three on Valentine's Day here with The Drama Show. How you doing? I'm Joe, but we've got the Creative Writing Society here to kick off, you know, what's going to be a wonderful little session. We're going to hear some lovely pieces, hear some wonderful range of works. Take it away.
Yeah, well, welcome to Writer's Corner. We had another good week of creative writing, and this week our theme was, you know, unoriginally romance.
Oh, of course, of course.
So that was good. It was not traumatising, which I was very proud of.
I think we're in the air.
Yeah. Because the past couple of years have involved, you know, the 50 Shades of Grey generator.
I see.
Various other things that we shall not mention on air.
But this year it was kept pretty clean, and I was really proud of us. So
it was literally thing. About romance rather than, like, romp-mance.
Romp-mance.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it. And we're going to start with a couple of poems, I think, by Oren.
The first one's kind of prosy.
Okay.
I don't know what it was. Like, I was in Costa, like, yesterday for 4 hours, and then, like...
Being the artist that you were. Beret.
Hey, whoa. I was actually doing work. I was doing work on Marxist philosophy. I was doing work, and, and then, like, I had an idea. Oh, yeah, no, this will be a cool idea for tomorrow. Shut up. Black waters undulate under a rippled black sky. Pitch knows everyone, speaks every tongue. People think of love as a lightning that rends open the fabric of the earth. Though maybe it is light, maybe it is dark. Love is bold, bright, brilliant. Love is. A hummingbird returns to her nest to feed her young. Soon they'll be ready to set their wings upon the sky. Soon naught will deny them the power to fly. But first they must eat. Love is nurturing. Love is. Not the same stuff, like flesh and rind, to be bitten and chewed. Not something to be captured in songs and science. Love is the bringing together of infinites and finite bodies, tongues and brains that spend long years pretending to understand. It is sacrifice and silent. Flame and frost, the birds, the bees, the ants on your index. Love is life. Love is. The sound of a smile, the sweetness of laughter, the pain of disappointment. Love is soft and mulchy, hard and immovable. Love is seen when a mother holds her baby for the first time and sighs, this pain was worth it. Then, is it an oath, a promise? Is it a snapshot or something more? I'd rather not know.
And you have another piece.
I do indeed. This is taken from the Lit Circle, kind of. Yeah. One of the tasks was to write a sonnet. I don't do poetry, if you know me. But yeah, I had a crack. It's called Happy Freaking Valentine's Day. And that's not edited. It's actually called that. It's not called that to be polite for radio, but yeah. Okay. You wanted me to cry, but I would not. Yet I blink and I can see waterfalls. And I wanted to stop, but could not. 4 weeks, 10 days, then you scale the wall. I'm so angry all the time I could burst. There's a drought and my scars can never heal. Strange how the marks stay when there's a thirst. I wonder if your love was ever real. Your smiles were short stories of a large love. Your kisses were still and full of fear. You giggled and moaned, looking above, as if there were others out there to hear. It's fine. I don't feel pain anyway. I will turn. I will fade. Go on my way.
Hello. Well, mine is very original in the theme of romance. I actually wrote this the other day. I was actually sitting waiting for my significant other, and I was like, ooh, I'll write a little story about Valentine's Day. And it's very originally entitled Valentine's Day. So, enjoy. The shopping centre was packed. Flustered-looking men of varying ages, clutching rolls of wrapping paper or gift bags in lurid shades of pink and red. Others had expensive jewellery boxes or lingerie bags. Ah, the preparation for Valentine's Day. It had begun. Personally, I never seemed to understand what the fuss was about. Granted, I hadn't spent a Valentine's Day single in a long time, and I nor would I be spending the upcoming Valentine's Day alone. But that didn't mean that I cared. Whilst I appreciated that some couples wanted to spend the day together, partaking in gooey romantic activities, or some rather more inappropriate ones, but I'd never really seen the appeal. Alfie had often found my distaste for the holiday concerning and strange, as though just because I was a woman, I would automatically want some overly expensive present or a ridiculously pricey meal out in some fancy brasserie in town. No, I didn't want that. Our usual antics had included some morning sex, then we'd catch up on all the shows of whatever TV show we were watching together, then we'd have dinner. Last year I'd even tried to cook, and it'd gone so badly that we ended up having to order pizza at midnight. God, that'd have been great. But now, Alfie was no longer part of my life. Our breakup in October left me very jaded. I'd convinced myself that it would be the only relationship of my life. My best friend, Karen, had insisted that I sign up to that wretched dating app, Tinder, and whilst we had spent one memorable evening dosing up on wine and practically inhaling Lady Godiva chocolates, scrolling down through a list of eligible bachelors, no one had taken my fancy. After that rather traumatising exercise, I'd convinced myself that I was destined to stay single. I'd get two cats, turn Alfie's study into my own private detective room, and I'd live out my days, solving crimes and drinking wine. That's the dream. My convictions had proved to be false, however, and this was due to the fact that in late December, I found myself in a new courtship with my very own detective partner, Aaron. We'd been together for just under 2 months and it had been great. After ironing out concerns about whether our personal life would impact our professional one, and vehemently promising Mencken that we wouldn't disappear from our cases to partake in what he called sordid activities, the two of us were left to be happy and romantically content. And we were. We made sure that we didn't take the same shifts or the same cases, and if we did, we made sure that we wouldn't cross over at all. And now Aaron had his own office. Ryan's had thankfully quit and moved overseas to Seattle, and I had my own space again. The topic of Valentine's Day had come up over one grisly January afternoon. Aaron and I had had late shifts, and we'd ventured out to a sandwich bar down the road from the station for dinner. As we'd sat down at a table and I was tucking into my ham and cheddar cheese baguette with far more gusto than was probably necessary, Aaron had looked up from his Mediterranean Club sandwich to ask me, "So, what do you want to do for Valentine's Day?" I, in my naturally graceful fashion, had looked up, mouth full of bread, cheese, and meat, and made some unintelligible muffled noise, which sounded like vrrr. Aaron, in a sporting way, had laughed and rolled his eyes before posing the question again. I swallowed and took a sip of water before looking up at him. The smile on his face was tentative but expectant, and he also looked exceptionally handsome that day. But I digress. "Oh," I said finally, "well, I didn't really think we were doing anything. I mean, we don't have to," Aaron said hurriedly, and he went red. "It was only that I figured it, since it falls on our date night anyway..." His hands were gesticulating vaguely, and he smiled. I smiled too, and I slid my hand across the table towards his and took it, giving it a gentle squeeze. "Sure we can do something," I said. He stared at our hands before looking back up at me. "Okay," he said, and he leaned across the table to give me a soft kiss on the cheek. We grinned at each other. "So do you want to go out for dinner, or I can make us dinner?" His eyebrows were raised. "I'm fonder of the second option, to be honest," I said. "I don't think you'd fancy trying to eat whilst numerous couples are making googly eyes at each other in the vicinity." Aaron snorted, rolling his eyes again, but he nodded. "Okay, let's do that then. So what do you fancy? I can do steak or chicken in the sauce, maybe a curry." I squeezed his hand again. "I'm sure whatever you will make will be lovely," I said. Aaron nodded, and then he promptly went back to his sandwich. "I'll figure something out," he said, raising it towards his mouth. So that was that. A sweet plan of a simple dinner at Aaron's flat had been made. And here I was in the shopping centre, trying to find him a present. Initially, I was a bit obstinate towards him buying me anything, but he had insisted. And besides, he claimed that he had found the perfect present for me. I had instantly gone into panic mode at this news. What the hell was I going to get him? I thought about getting him a book at first. He loves reading, just like me. But then there was the whole issue of what book to buy him. My trip to the shopping centre lasted much longer than I intended, but I finally settled on getting him a shirt. It was navy and green plaid. It'll suit him well, I suppose, and if it's not to his taste, he could always return it and get something he liked more. We'd figure it out. I felt nervous about Valentine's Day, and I'm not sure why. Maybe it was the fact that I was so used to my Valentine's Day traditions with Alfie, that something fresher and more refined with Aaron felt a little awkward. Well, I'd see you on Saturday, I suppose.
That was really good.
Yeah.
Is that the, those are the characters from your NaNoWriMo, right?
Yes, they are. I should meant to mention that at the beginning. I have resurrected my detective, Eva, so...
Yay!
Hooray.
I thought I'd do something from her perspective. Yeah.
Brilliant. I really like that. It felt very real.
Yeah,
it's got a good balance of humour and, you know, yeah, seriousness. It's good. It's very nice. Welcome back. It is Valentine's Day. This is The Drama Show. We have another piece from Creative Writing. Let's hear it.
We do. This piece is also inspired from the Lit Circle. We had a prompt which was love is ... and you had to fill in the rest of it. And we had a few really good ones, and I'm quite happy to say that mine is not as good as the ones we heard in the Lit Circle, because they are amazing. But one thing that kind of not irritates me about Valentine's Day, because obviously it's about love, it's really focused on romance, and I don't know, I just think platonic love is also really important. So this is basically me just kind of venting a bit.
Good.
Love is nothing like you imagined it would be. Your knight in shining armour hasn't turned up, and it takes you a while to realise that that's okay. Because though it's not what you thought, it turns out love is founded in the simplest of times and in the least expected places, and it's so much better for it. It's the night you spend accidentally staying up till 4 a.m. with your housemate, binge-watching a TV show which you thought you'd dislike, but you're now addicted to. It's getting pizza in the middle of the week because the three of you have had a long day and really can't be bothered to cook. There's no judgment, only an unspoken understanding that you've all earned this. It's taking a phone call at midnight when you have to be up in 6 hours, because you know that if she's calling you at this time, then someone has made another crack in her already fragile heart, and she needs you. It's realising that a 2-hour time difference has more of an effect than you think, but you squeeze in Skype sessions whenever you can. There's a bigger world than the village the pair of you grew up in, and you want to hear all about it, even if it's only for half an hour that week. And maybe love is hearts and roses, sweet nothings whispered when the silent chimes of midnight have long since passed. It can be the fairy tale you were told about as a kid. But it's also impromptu trips to Tesco because all three of you are ill, and you end up buying 6 bottles of juice because vitamins are essential, and you will have very little self-control when there's an offer on. Love is the platonic domesticity you've been dreaming about since you first watched Friends, and you're lucky enough to find. It's laughing so hard that you cry, sliding down the kitchen wall as everyone looks at you in concern, because it wasn't that funny. You're told that love is romantic, and that's true. But it's also found in the laugh of your best friend, and the concern in the eyes of your new friends as they force you to drink tea when you start coughing, even when you insist that you're fine. Love is nothing like you thought it would be. It's better.
It is about a good 40 seconds to half past. It's the new way of doing time now. And we have, and you guys are running over a bit.
Yes. Oh,
but that's completely fine, because we've got 2 more pieces.
Okay.
All right. So, yes, Oren, you've got a couple more.
Yeah.
You have 27 seconds.
Okay, right. One's a high cube. I dreamed much last night of a time we had once shared. What was I thinking?
One piece done, yeah.
Okay. Seriously.
Is that it?
There's a haiku.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
I thought you were joking.
No.
I wasn't properly listening. Let me listen again. Say it again. You've got 6 seconds. Quickly, say it.
I dreamed much last night of a time we had once shared. What was I thinking?
Nice. Yeah, that was good. I'm perfectly on time. But I think we'll squeeze in a minute or two to hear this final piece.
Okay. All right.
Let's hear it.
This one's an oldie. It's one of the weird poetry time. It's called I Told You I Wasn't Nice. Leave your plump heart on the side of the road. I'll help you get it back into shape. Don't worry about a thing. That's why my one and only code. I lied. Your lips tasted of thunder, and storm clouds brooded in your chest. I remember your gown was stained sunset red 2 sheets under. I think that's then when I knew you best. Did you lace up your heart for the last time? You got enough tools to last another mile of heartbreak, I think. Fix up and let's hold on for a while, I urged when I saw your teary blink. A kiss through your paranoia, that time you tasted of madness. You said that you always liked the ones made of something smoother than silk, like the athlete when they know they've won. Did you believe, no, the way I gripped your waist? Your pain is your fault as much as it is mine. Let loose the guilty bottle. Murder leaves a terrible aftertaste. Do I need to say? Fine. Don't let me have my way, because I don't really need you. Like I say. In fact, it's quite the opposite. I only spoke because I knew you liked it. You dressed it with a sunrise smile. I traced every mistake in the corners of your mouth and on the bottles that had been left out to rot. Today, march on with your doubts. They're quite a mouthful, I know. Your cigarette smoke floats to the stars, showing me the way to go. This time, it's a glacial stare with a heart full of flame. Let's forget the fires of your fury for just 1 second, I say as the porch window is lashed with rain. I wanted your chilled body encasing mine. Who said there was such a thing as pain? You let me have my way again.
What a lovely set of pieces I had on this lovely Valentine's Day. Again, once again, huge contrast in ideas of love and all the different types of love. So thanks for gifting us that for today, for everyone out there. So what is happening with the society this week? What's the theme? Have we got a new theme?
We do. This Wednesday, our theme is going to be superheroes. Ooh. So that's always a good time. So we are in LG 11, 7 till 9 p.m. on Wednesday. We have our free writing session in room
104
of Forward Library on Thursday. Again, 7 till 9 p.m. And on the 20th, we have a social. So we should be watching films and potentially playing Cards Against Humanity and generally just hoping that it goes well.
Loads of bants, basically.
Bants. Yes. There will be bants.
There will be bants.
Or, I like to call it persiflage.
So, yeah, we will see you next week then.
This is URN.
The Drama Show Breakdown.